We're back with another episode of the Into Greatness podcast with Jason and Jolene. I am Jason.
And I'm Jolene.
No Ralph and Edna for you guys this week. Oh, yeah. We're coming back after two great weeks with the Valerie Pullen of Valkyrie Spirit. That was awesome. The talks about yoga and Reiki. That was great.
It was so good.
So good. We'll have Val back again.
Yeah.
She's a great guest.
Okay.
Belonging. This is one we've wanted to touch on for a while, but I think we kept forgetting about.
Yeah, I think so, because it just didn't belong
yet. It didn't belong yet.
It didn't belong
yet. There's a time to belong.
Okay. I'm going to do what I do at the beginning of this, and I'm going to tell you what it says in the old Webster Dictionary. Okay, belonging, an affinity for a place or situation. But we always like to take that deeper, so I take the next prompt on the Google. And it says, what is the meaning of belonging, people ask? A feeling of being happy or comfortable as part of a particular group and having a good relationship with the other members of the group because they welcome you and accept you. A sense of belonging is one of humanity's most basic needs.
It is. We all want to belong to something.
Yeah. Jason wants to belong to a cabin in the woods.
I do. I yearn for that cabin in the woods. It shall be mine. What, remember that Wayne's World? Mark my words, it will be mine. It will be mine.
Which is funny because the next little prompt on the Google here is, what is the meaning of belonging? So when we take that sense of belonging from a community perspective, from a humanity perspective, look around us. Look at the things we make ours as belongings.
Yes.
Isn't that wild?
That's crazy when you think of it. And that's what we call it. These are my belongings.
These are my belongings.
Wow. I got to think about that for a
second. Makes me feel a little crazy for a moment now.
It does. What have we done to ourselves?
I'm picturing my kids with all of their stuffies and their things and their this and the that.
Right? That's what it is. And when you're young, that how important those belongings are. And I guess it carries on as we get older because we all have our, like, we value our material things almost more than people sometimes, which is fucked up. But.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Just had a conversation with somebody about that. You know, her ex like sold the family house or whatever and was like, okay, well, you can go through and take the things you want and everything she wanted. He was like, well, you can't take that. You can't take that. And then she was just like, why do you even have this stuff anymore? Like, it's been like 10 years.
Yeah.
Wild.
I think we attach things.
We do.
Like emotions, memories to these things.
And energy, guys. We've talked about this. We talked about this.
Well, they give you that energy that you want.
Yes.
Right?
But like, our old energy is attached to them too. Think about it.
Yeah.
We, you know, when Val gave that experience of like the crystal that she had and she put her energy into it and then she was able to find it when someone else had it. We do that to our belongings. Like I can't walk past antique stores. I love antiques. But certain antiques, I can't be around. I get so activated, like other people's energy. We know this. Jay, you know this in your paranormal
work. Big time. You can feel the energy in things.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't feel good.
Yes.
Like you go into those places and you're like, I don't like you. I'm not comfortable here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a reason why.
Yeah. I just had a client create some sacred space for herself. And then she was in my workshop this weekend. I asked her if she'd been using the space. She goes, no, I moved something in there that I think I need to move out because it doesn't feel right anymore. And then when she elaborated, it was actually a furniture item that was her deceased dad's. And she's like, it doesn't feel good in there.
Then
it doesn't
need to
be there.
Move that shit out right away.
Exactly. And I was like, I love that you connected with that feeling and you knew you felt this resistance that it didn't feel right in there. And that is what we can connect with, right? So when we think about that in terms of our sense of belonging, when we feel like we belong versus we don't belong, right?
Oh, and we get that feeling. You know, when you go into that, especially when you're in high school, and there's just that group of kids that you just, no matter how hard you try, you just don't fit in. Do you ever have that? No, of course you didn't.
I was like, it's me.
There's certain people that,
I struggled with that in elementary school, always having to change French groups and move around and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yes, I know what that means. And, like, yeah, there's certainly some places where you're just like,
I don't fit in here. I remember my whole time at the paper, I almost felt like I never fully fit.
Hmm.
Like, it wasn't the right fit, but it was.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you were in the right industry. You
doing
were
the
doing
right things.
What you needed to do. You just weren't doing it in the place that best
suited me.
Suited you.
Yeah, and that was like a decade's worth of that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, but I didn't realize that till it was all over.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Interesting. Where would you say you cultivated some of your biggest feelings of belonging or where it just fit? Like you were just like, oh, this feels good. I like this. I want more of this.
Oh, geez. They're, like with certain friends,
mm-hmm.
definitely. It's funny because I was adopted and up until I found out I was adopted, it always felt like, even though it was my family and I was there and these were the people raising me and it was great and I loved them, something always felt a little off.
And now, in retrospect,
I understood what
it is.
I knew exactly what that was, which is maybe why I've got a weird sense of family now and the importance of it, et cetera, right? Definitely, there's been a few key people that I've met in my life where it's like, yeah, I'm supposed to know this person. We're supposed to be hanging out. And it feels like I belong. I'm at a point right now where there's some long-term friendships I've had that I'm just like, that doesn't work anymore. You know what I mean? That doesn't fit.
Yeah.
Definitely like with my current family situation, like obviously with my wife and son. Yeah. Yes, this is how we're supposed to be together, despite sometimes our best intentions not to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's a sense of belonging. And I've got a few key people in my life that definitely, they're the one, the friend group. Like our paranormal team.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Group we've got there with Peter and Ollie and now Ryan. Yeah. Like we've got a nice fit.
Yeah.
And it's taken a lot of trial and error with different people.
Yeah, so you guys belong with each other. And then the work that you end up doing either belongs with those other partnerships or not.
Yeah.
And it's interesting when you walk into a house, you feel whether you belong or not.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. Like when we've investigated your place, we felt fine.
Yep.
There's a place that we investigate a few times now where she's like, oh, this place doesn't like us.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm still getting ice, by the way.
It's just, and it's been a year.
My billet even says, he's just like, oh yeah, the ghost ice.
Ghost ice. That's awesome. You could sell that. You wouldn't have to do anything to it. You could just sell this ice and just call it ghost ice and
ghost
people would buy
ice.
It.
Ghost ice. Oh
yeah,
my
yeah.
God.
How about you, Joe?
Yeah. So for me, like I have felt a strong sense of belonging, luckily in multiple places of my life, you know, as a dancer, I'm even thinking your boxing stuff,
yep.
You felt like you belonged there, you know, even talking to Val, like you felt like you belonged there. And it was interesting because you guys belonged with each other in a sense that you had a previous association. But in that triad when we were recording, I felt like I belonged
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it just fit.
And you probably had that with Brittany and
yeah.
me too, right? You felt like you belonged, right? So for me, that sense of connectedness, like I am naturally, I like to feel connected to people. I intentionally connect with people. And that is like an extension of my heart work, my purpose. I create a sense of belonging within my workshop, within the people that see me in my one-to-one work. I like to cultivate that, you know, even with my kids' friends or in their sporting groups, things like that, right? Like, I really just think that when we feel like we belong to something, we feel supported, like we can excel. I'm actually picturing like a cheer team, how they lift the person up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a natural dynamic that comes. I know where I have not felt like I belonged before. And actually at my old government job, I cultivated a lot of that amongst the staff so that they could all, you know, have like healthier mental health in the work that we were doing, but also feel like we were all like in it together in a sense. You know, we're in the pit of doom together.
Exactly, right?
No, doing good work though. But yeah, then there's places where I'm like, oh, I don't feel like I belong. Like anytime somebody comes into my life, I want them to feel like they belong. I go above and beyond to include them. So, for example, the billet that's been living with us. Oh, he's probably gone by now. Oh, man.
Oh,
as you hear this, I'm already grieving that, right? My kids for sure, right, are grieving that. But, you know, really wanted him to feel like he belonged, that he had the space. So some mm-hmm. of that is space in my house. Other things are intentional things like, what are your favorites? And let me buy them for you, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's favorite food or what do you need for comforts? Those kinds of things. So we can cultivate belonging based on things we do, based on things we say, based on things we provide, right? Like space
yep.
for things like that. When you started at the paper, did you get your own space? Did they make you feel like you fit in? Did you get your own parking spot? You know, these are things that can make us feel like we're part of the team. I help my students cultivate this amongst our office when they start working with me, right? I'm like, here are the things that, you know, you're included with, and the office will do that to them too. Like, this is the lunchroom. These are the offices you can use. This is where you belong in my schedule. All of these places, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you kind of get first dibs to me when you need me, those kinds of things, right? That is a privilege, folks. That's a privilege. That's like the best parking spot in the parking lot, right? But essentially it's those kind of things. And then for me, the not belonging for me for sure hits like a rejection wound or a not good enough wound, right?
Yeah, so, that's how mine always fits too, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's been like a journey for me growing up, recognizing that like a lot of boyfriends or partners I had, it was either, you know, the ones that were that felt sad to me were the ones where I didn't feel embraced by their family. And I know that that's like that is an ongoing wound. It's a weird thing, right? And even like one of my high school exes, like, was in jail and addicted to drugs after the fact. And I was like, oh, I bet you wish you would have liked me now, because I probably would have been a good influence. Right. But like, it's just weird things. Yeah. Right. And for me, like, those were always things that cultivated this strong sense for myself now, having a son in particular, being like, this is the type of mother-in-law I would want to be, right? Instead of what I don't want to be. So it's taught me more of that than anything. But I know for me, like, if I don't feel like I belong in someone's life the way I open my life up for them to belong, that hurts me in a sad way. Yeah.
Which is interesting, because I think, as with so many things, we are all individually willing to belong, mm-hmm. or have people belong to us to varying degrees, mm-hmm. which I always think is good. Like, I think all of us want to feel like we belong to something, but experiences like you talk about will sometimes make it harder for us to want to belong, yeah. or like have that trust or openness to fully belong to something.
Yeah.
So it becomes this weird catch-22 that prevents us from belonging.
Yeah. Because then we become guarded. We become less trusting. We're worried about belonging and then maybe not belonging. Again, I think there's like a small handful of core wounds that really are the ones, if we were to chisel and pull the layers away, they always get down to abandonment and rejection, and then the core belief of I'm not good enough. I would say most of us have those at the root of a lot of the negative experiences that will perpetuate until we heal some of those things. I'm sure in your EMDR work, those absolutely. Are the ones that would come up.
Yep,
yeah, for sure. Ones.
And I think, too, we have this crutch now called social media, which makes us think like we're belonging, much like we're connecting, but we're really not, because it's not really real.
But
to that, a point.
Yeah. So right? This is a thing. It's like a pseudo connection, but there's still a connection. Sometimes this can have a positive effect on our mental health, and sometimes it can have a negative one. Because if there is somebody who wouldn't belong in maybe the community that they're in, because it's like, I don't know, Hillbilly Hickville or something, but they find a sense of belonging somewhere else that they couldn't physically get to, I think that might be positive for their mental health.
I think it is. And I know with a lot of the YouTubers my son watches, I look at that and I'm like, wow, I guarantee you that kid got his ass kicked in high school.
There.
But he feels like he belongs.
Yeah.
There, he's created a community.
And he's making bank now.
Huge bank, asshole. but I also think that people who yearn to belong get this sense, like they form these connections, but these connections would be better served in a real one-on-one situation, not mm-hmm. through a computer. Where they could kind of work, because you don't then have to work through your shit online.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's a good starter point.
Yes.
But if we want to take it further, make it tangible, like hands-on in a sense of like cultivate the real vulnerability of in person. I think sometimes people can be more vulnerable online than they would be in person. So they get to leap over into that without mm-hmm. really getting there.
Yeah, no, because right? they can just put something out and they get 150 likes. Yeah. Oh, cool. I belong. People love me. But you're not, it's not the same as like being vulnerable face to face.
Yes. With someone. It's like smelling a taste and thinking that you're actually eating the item.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I like that. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
That's really good. So I want you all to think about places where you feel like you belong and places where you don't feel like you belong. And really kind of notice that. And people, you know, is that, has it changed? Has it shifted? Did you, you know, used to feel like you belong somewhere and now you don't? And sometimes this is where people will cause a bit of like animosity in that situation, or they'll look for a reason to push it away or create trouble there. And sometimes I remind people, like, when you're on your healing journey, you know, we talked about this in the different frequencies of things. You're just on a different radio station than them. You're listening to a different song. You guys can't actually hear the same song right now. And that's okay. You don't need to make it because something went wrong, right? So sometimes, like, and that's where that rejection wound comes in, right? Like, we are so fluid and we are constantly in a state of change. And I think the more we can accept that we're going to move in and out of these states of belonging based on where we are at emotionally, physically, financially, right? Like, mm-hmm. finances are a big one I talk to people about in therapy in terms of how much they feel like they belong. You know, were they like, were they around friends who were really, really wealthy and they just didn't quite have enough, right? Like
the poor kid hanging out with the rich kid and, kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh man. And some of the people I work with, they weren't even poor. They were still probably better off than the working class families that, you know, I grew up with, but they still felt poor compared to their excessively loaded friends' families, right?
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. So sometimes, I mean, again, socioeconomic status can give us a sense of non-belonging. And I think our homeless population now, it's interesting how disconnected they feel from community. I think nowadays, compared to what they used to, I feel like they used to feel more connected. And now there is this big divide. They don't treat the community the same way. There has been a culture shift in street life, I think, in the last 10 years. Because 10 years ago, they belonged still. They cared for it still. There was a core value. And I think this is a generational difference, to be honest with you.
I think so, yeah. You're seeing... I know when I first started working downtown, like 2003, there was a street population, but somehow we all got along, like everyone kind of got along, like, and you'd be willing to give them a few bucks, but now like the street population is just disrespectful all around. They're trying to wreck stuff. They feel they're owed. It's really not good. And then it's creating amongst people who would normally help, they're like, well, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, there's right? an us and them, and it didn't used to feel that way. No. So I think there's multiple layers to that, including the types of drugs that are being used now, disconnection people have from themselves. I actually think that sometimes homelessness before created like solitude. I know people in jail who would purposely get put in isolation, and they built their spiritual practice that way, right? Yep. And they came out stronger, clearer, and more intentional in what they were doing.
Well, they'd even turn their life around to some point. Absolutely. Now it just is
and
this regurgitated cycle,
some.
Right?
And I wonder if homelessness provided that solitude for some, like you getting lost in the woods, right? And there was like possibly a stronger connection with self. But now there's such a disconnection with self, therefore disconnection from those around us. So I guess that gets me thinking of like, where are you going with this, Jolene? our sense of belonging perhaps is directly impacted by our sense of connection with ourselves. And when we are lacking connection with ourselves, we strive and crave it from so many other places that we might actually hold on to it. We'll hold ourselves in these places so that they accept us and we feel belonging there. But essentially, to stand on our own as like a sovereign individual and feel like we belong no matter where we are, that is like the root of our power.
And I think it's that whole you can't love anyone else until you love yourself thing. And I think then you will also find out once you've reached that point, the people who truly should be in your life. Because there's people that will not accept the fact that you almost don't need them anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you don't. You're content with yourself. You could be with people or not, and that's all fine.
Yeah.
Some people just can't handle that.
Yeah, they want to be needed. They want to secure their attachment with you based on your dependency on them. And this is where a lot of people that are martyrs, they want to create dependency of those around them to need them so that they are never without a job, right?
Yeah, without a job. Yeah, exactly. Or without companionship or whatever it is they get, right?
Yeah. So really looking at some of that in terms of your life, right? Like, where do you feel like you belong? Where do you feel like you are, you know, honored and accepted and received in some ways? And is this where you're spending most of your time? Is this in the most intimate circles in your life? Like, if you don't feel like you belong in your family and you spend most of your time with them and they're the people that are supposed to be most supportive or loving of you, that's conflicting.
Oh, hugely. You get cognitive dissonance, which we talked about earlier, right?
Yeah. I remember for me, you know, looking at the dynamic in my house, my mom and my dad, my mom and my sister were both Virgos. And I'm referencing this because we've talked to Brittany about astrology and stuff. Mm-hmm. So there was a character type there. And then my dad and I were both Pisces. So we were kind of the amigos in them. And then when my dad died, I felt like I didn't belong. I was like the odd gal out in a sense, right? It was very interesting to see even amongst my own family where I may be aligned. And, you know, I can see this with my children is that two of them really connect and there's two that don't. And they blatantly say to each other all the time, like, I just don't like you or this or that. But then when I actually see them connect, they have a really different way of doing some cool things together that I'm like, you guys actually do some cool things together. You should hang out a bit more often, right? But they definitely butt heads a little bit more. But my one daughter will feel like she doesn't belong because the other two can get along so
interesting.
Well. Yeah, it is very interesting, right? And then my son just being the only, well, aside from our billet, but, you know, like, boy in our family, direct family unit, you know, right now, there's a little piece there that feels different and othered for him, right?
You know what's funny? Because I've only met your kids a few times. Yeah. But when I've met all three, the one that was suddenly most accepting was Marshall.
Yeah.
Like, it was like instantly like that. Maybe because it was just another male talking to him.
Yeah.
I found that really neat.
Yeah, that is neat. And you know, he's an exceptional soul, that one. He really is. And all of my kids are quite intuitive and they're deep feelers. They all have their neat abilities. Mm. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I wonder too if that's a piece where he's like, oh, I finally feel seen.
Yeah, right? Some of the guys around here talking to me for a second.
Yeah, and he really longs for male attention too.
I can see that.
Yep. Outside of hockey world, right? Mm-hmm. Hockey's mostly all men, right? But yeah, so that's where, you know, my partner Kevin comes in, and that's where, you know, even Brayson, it's hard because he's like, you know, a 20-year-old guy, right? Doing his own thing too. So there's also a piece of like mentorship and looking up to someone like that too. But yeah, so getting people to think about, you know, where we're spending the majority of our time, and do we have a true sense of belonging, right?
That takes time and reflection. I think you actually have to become aware.
Yeah. And we can put things like race on this.
Yeah.
What is the color of your skin? How much do you feel like you belong simply because of how you look? What about your sexual orientation? Right?
Yeah.
How do you feel you belong based on that? Based on what you are supposed to fit into, right? And where do you feel a sense of belonging? Where do you not feel a sense of belonging? Maybe it's around belief systems, right? We really highlighted this through COVID, right? Yep. Whether we belong in a space or not, whether we're othered or not. Right?
That became huge. Oh. I don't think we're going to turn around from
and
that.
And that completely is a way that we cultivated weakness in society, is let's make everyone feel like they don't belong if they don't follow the norm. And we can do this in so many ways.
Well,
right?
it became, did you get your shot?
Yeah.
And there's campaigns around
and
that,
if you didn't, you're not allowed into these places. Yeah. So we're going to out you whether you want to tell us or not.
And we're going to, and it was almost, this is where my conspiracy theory comes in. Because I remember being told you couldn't go to the movies unless you got, like, you got your shot and you had your passport.
Yeah.
Right? But you'll, and so everyone else in there is going to be fine. But then you went in there, it's like, no, you still got to wear your mask. It's like, why? You know what I mean? That became a little thing. I know they came the signs because you're carrying, there's these inconsistencies that then created, I think, what we're seeing now. You brought this up a few episodes ago with Brittany. We now don't trust the people that are trying to tell us how to do things because of these inconsistencies that came up.
Which I actually think is a wonderful thing.
I do too. I have no problem with that.
I think that like critical thinking and the ability to then like empower ourselves to make the decisions that feel better for us, right? You know, Val really helped us tap into that in the last podcast episode around when she explained about The Rock and how she could feel that, mm-hmm. right? And how we feel things fit or don't fit into situations. That is going to be the thing. Like, do I feel? So, you know, that was something that my kids, like for some reason, my girls had huge aversions to getting that first one. And it just never got scheduled in. And we ended up having it like 4 times. So I was like, well, what's it going to do at this point? right? And then the passport was done. So again, there's no answers to any of this. We don't know what things look like later on. But sometimes it's about like what feels right now. You know, you go to leave your house and you get this like crazy feeling and this resistance. Do you start questioning like, should I
not leave the house right
now? Right? Like these are the kinds of things, right? So when you're standing somewhere, you're with a group of people and suddenly you feel that aversion to like, I don't know if this is the right place for me. I don't know if this is where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Like we got to listen to those things, right? And maybe it's, I don't feel like I belong because they're not treating me well, or maybe something's not aligned, or maybe there's a danger, right?
Yeah. Oh, we went to a baby shower last summer. Totally, and it was people we knew, and I get along really well with them, but there's all these other people there. And I'm just like, these aren't my people. I wouldn't be talking to any of these people.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for this event right now. Nor actually do I really want to see any of them ever again.
And this is a great example of where you don't feel like you belong, but you will stay present for the purpose of whatever's
required.
The event,
because it is our friends hosting it and that's why we're there. But it was just like, I even said to my wife when we got home, like, wow, like, those were not people I would associate with.
Don't ever take me to that event.
Right?
Like, you know, send a card.
But she's even just like, yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. Just, you just know. You just but know what works and what doesn't,
and
right?
That there reaffirms probably some of the work that you've done or why you've cultivated your life and your mm-hmm. social circle the way you have. And you're like, this is why we do what we do. And sometimes we need that little crunchy experience in order to give us validation that we've been doing the right things.
Yeah.
We've been hanging with the right people. We've been making the right choices.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But there's a time when we would just go to things like that because you should go to, and you would want to hang out with these people and you wanted to have these as your friends and not realizing that they were the worst. But there's nothing wrong with them. They're just not your type.
Yes. Okay. So now I'm going to take that a step further.
Okay.
So that is where we like honor that difference, and then we allow ourselves not to keep pursuing that. You've tried it and you don't. What about in the case where you go somewhere, you're like, I do not belong here, but I know I need to and keep doing this. Your yoga, I imagine the first class you went to, did you feel like you don't belong there?
Of course, it was just like, this is different and I'm the only dude here. Right? And you know what I mean? And it's just like, yeah, but you... So it's like working through that because it's going to be for your greater good. So it's knowing when to push and when not to push. And it's something we're trying to tell our son, teach our son. And it comes down to, but with that, you need a lot of self-awareness in order to do that properly.
Yeah. And you're like, your son's in middle school right now. And this is a huge place where we crave belonging. And actually, I don't think we feel belonging so much as we feel non-belonging at that stage.
You just don't want to not belong.
And we won't really like walk into life and be like, oh yeah, I belong, I'm cool, I'm good. We only highlight when we don't fit in.
Yeah.
That's the age where we only highlight where we don't fit in, and it becomes really, really conflicting and creates a lot of discord. I don't want to go to school. There's a lot of anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where bullying and differencing comes in, things like that. Interesting.
It's heavy stuff.
So now if we think about like, what are ways that we can enhance our sense of belonging or give ourselves a stronger sense of belonging?
What are some ways? I think, well, we talked about it in the last couple episodes, is doing work on yourself is, I think, a part. Being willing to sort of look at yourself, ask yourself questions.
Yeah. Why do I keep not belonging? Yeah. Like, why?
Or why do I want to belong? Why do I want these people's acceptance?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right? Well, because this is a basic human need and we all have a longing
but
for
why
it.
But why these people in particular?
Yes. Or why do I feel like I don't belong anywhere? What is this? What's the common theme? Is it me? Am I distancing? Do I come in abrasively? Like there's some folks who do.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're like, I don't fit in anywhere. And they kind of own that a little bit. Like I'm the rough one. I'm the this. Right. And it's like, okay, well, what are you avoiding then?
Yes.
What are you avoiding? Why are you resistant to this, right? And in those cases, it's vulnerability. So go back and listen to our vulnerability episode, okay? Because you ain't going to let nobody in and they're not going to let you in and you're somehow self-protecting, but all you're doing is denying yourself really good things when we do that.
Which we all need that connection.
Yeah.
A deep connection to something or someone or whatever, right?
And then I really want people to think about, so we're just going to throw a bunch of things out for you because I know as we talk, things pop up in your mind and you're like, oh yeah, this person or that person. You know, I want you to think about, there was one scenario I remember talking to a client and it was about like dad's girlfriend kind of thing. And they had been life partners for quite some time. This was not a new thing, right? And I was like, well, you know, if she doesn't feel like she belongs or your dad doesn't feel like she belongs, how can you honor her or honor the fact that like this woman loves your dad and you love her because she loves your dad? I remember, you know, just that concept of like, we don't have to love the person, but because they love someone that's that important to you, treat them well.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not about you. It's about your loved one getting what they need. Right? So, you know, looking at where are there places in your life where you can help somebody feel like they belong more. And again, I think of family scenarios and work scenarios to be the biggest ones here. Like, do you have a tight workplace and somebody new has come in and you see that they are not quite fitting in that puzzle piece? Go out of your way. How can you make that person feel like they belong better if it's an appropriate fit?
Yes.
Right? How can you do that? And again, maybe it's about cultivating space, an energetic space, moving over, including them in conversations, acknowledging things that are important to them, including things, right? This is where we put rainbow flags outside of doors. We become inclusive in whatever ways because we're showing inclusion, right?
And which people miss the point of.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah, totally. So how do we become more inclusive and less exclusive in those scenarios in our life, right? Yeah. So what's like a simple area you could become more inclusive in?
Because I don't associate with a lot of people. I think, well, no, my son, Griffin, has a buddy who's an odd duck.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs attention. He does.
Yep.
Right? And he was brought up by someone who is a narcissist, who basically would make him perform, all this kind of stuff. So he'll show up in the morning. I might have even talked about this on the show. I can't remember. He'll show up in the morning and right away, he'll just start singing a song as you open the door. There's no good morning, Mr. Hewlett. There's no nothing. And it's just like, it's 7 15 in the morning. I'm not awake.
I love this kid.
And I'm just like, Aiden, it's too early in the morning for that shit. Right? Because it is. It's too early. And and there's like, and other people are realizing he's weird and he's starting to get picked on. Aww. So it's like, buddy, like, you've got to learn, like, Jess is way better. Just like, good morning, Aiden. Oh, yes. Good morning, Mrs. You know what I mean? Like, so I could be better at teaching him the right way to introduce. And then if you want to sing your song, go ahead. But like, you don't start just on this,
You know what the biggest thing is, though? He needs to learn by the people around him that him being him is enough.
Yep.
He has learned that him existing is not enough.
He needs more.
He needs to do more, be more, show up bigger.
Show up more, be more popular, be more. You know what I mean? He's been taught that. So we're working on it, and I'm working on it within myself to not just be like where I can't handle, because it's a lot first thing in the morning.
And because you're like, I will see you and meet you where you're at. I don't need all that extra fluff.
Yeah. So cut the bullshit, kid. Like, just cut the bullshit and let's just have a chat.
Right.
Right.
Why have you not met him with a song?
I don't have songs. I don't sing, for one thing.
Meet him. Meet him with movie quotes. This is your challenge.
He's a horror movie fan.
There.
So he will ask, have you seen the new trailer for? And I'll be like, oh yeah, Aiden, you betcha.
Horror or horror?
Horror. As in the scary stuff. It's good.
But that, so this is where you can connect with him. So, because again, sense of belonging is about how well we connect, how well we kind of speak and see and, you know, validate. And really it's about being seen, right? Yeah. Like, so that is where you can meet him at a different level, but let him know that, yes.
You still can. You got to like say your pleasantries in the morning. People will treat you like less of a dick if you come in and say good morning, everybody.
Totally.
Instead of just, I need the attention. Like I took, during COVID, when you could rent the Paramount Theater, I think you still can. It was like for Halloween. So they couldn't go trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
So I rented the theater. And Griffin and a bunch of his friends came. And right in the middle of the movie, for some reason, this boy just starts standing up and like just, he wants attention. Right? And I'm just like, sit down.
I see that differently.
But like everyone else is trying to watch, right? So it's like, you need to sit down and finish the movie. And then.
Do you know what I think was happening? What movie was it, Jay?
Was the Frightener. Scary? It was a scary movie. He loved it, right?
I know, but here's the thing, is that when we sit still, especially as children, when we sit still and we are internally activated, so his nervous system went, bah!
Oh, yeah.
He could not physically sit still anymore. He literally needed an outlet, like a shaken pop can. And that was it for him. So it comes out as quirky. It comes out as attention seeking. Mm-hmm. But he was so dysregulated that he could not stay socially appropriate. And this is where kids get fucked over in school. Because when they're nervous, when they're excited, and they get all like yipped up. And this happens before family dinners. Like, fuck, my kids do it all the time before like a bigger family dinner. They're so wound up about this is a different dynamic that they're like popcorn out of their seats.
Yeah, interesting.
Because their body is so dysregulated. So we are so disconnected from that knowing, but kids are so impulsive and intuitively led. He'll just start jumping and yelling, which is exactly what we actually want him to do. But it's not socially appropriate in that moment. But it's what his body needed. Do you get what I'm saying?
I do. And I understand that. So it's just like, dude, down in front.
But you know what I mean? It's disrespectful for others. It triggers others. This is where us as parents need to do our own nervous system regulation. When our kids are crying, when they're excited, when they're all these things. Because we get activated at those levels.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Because you're like, there's six other kids trying to watch this movie. You can't interrupt them like this.
Yeah,
right?
It's not right. And I talked to him about it after.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
Yeah. And both of you are right? Yep. He was right for what he needed in the moment, but needed to learn a different way to do it.
Exactly.
And you were right in saying you can't do that in front of everybody at a movie theater because you're also going to get kicked out if it was a public theater.
Well, if it was a public theater, your ass would be gone, right? Yeah. Or someone had dumped popcorn all over you and threw your pop at you, right?
And then you're the weird kid. And then, you know, so when we know, like, this is why it's so important to teach kids these things.
Yeah.
Right?
And he's just not having those. No one is having this conversation.
No, because this is language we just acquired in society.
Yeah.
Over the last like 5-10 years, like we are just breaking the surface of having these kind of conversations about mind body connection, about emotion and nervous system regulation, like what's actually happening. Because all we learned as kids was sit down and shut up. And it didn't matter what was happening inside
it's
of us.
Like you just sit down and shut up.
You had to abide by the social norms during those times. You know what, when we ate dinner, you would sit at your seat and you would blah blah blah. Yeah. And that was a sign of the times, right? But that was also when you weren't allowed to have your own expression of things and you had to obey all of those rules. And now we're learning that, like, oh, you mean we're crushing everybody's soul as we raise them like this? Oh, okay.
And no wonder there's a whole society of unhappy people out there.
Yeah, yeah, right? Keeps me in business.
That's right. Just and kidding. Keeps our show rolling on.
It really does. I hope all of you feel like you belong here. And that's actually a final word I want to have on belonging, because those of you who listen and feel like you're a part of this podcast and this collective, and when we're talking, we are talking to you, right? We know who a lot of our listeners are. We know the things they're jiving with, the feedback you give us, and we just kind of feel what you guys want to hear. But I hope you feel like you have a sense of belonging here. And sometimes because we have common belief systems and we can identify with some of the same things, we will often feel like we belong in a space or place energetically or physically because of shared experiences, right? You and I often feel like we belong, you know, in this space because we actually learned we had a lot of shared experiences, right? Yeah.
We belonged from the beginning.
Yes. There we go. So, to your sense of belonging and all of the hoarded belongings you have, I hope that that was insightful for you. Find a place where you feel like you belong.
And we will be back next week with your next favorite episode of the Integrateness Podcast. Until then, I'm Ralph.
And I'm Edna.
We'll see you next week.